Well, welcome to Train and Business Podcast. Today I am with Aline. Aline, how are you today?
I'm fine. Good morning, Jonathan. How is everything?
Yeah, fantastic, fantastic. Well, just the heat is here. Just we are a little bit warm around, but no, we're coping with the summer. But very good. Well, just we hope that. I hope our listeners and those who might be watching, just you are with your fun or with your air conditioning on and trying to survive this summer. Very good, very good, Aline. So, bueno, pues bienvenidos a los Business Podcasts de Trainline. Aprende inglés con episodios diseñados para profesionales muy ocupados como tú. Sabemos que estás muy ocupado, pero escuchar nuestros podcasts te va a ayudar a avanzar rápidamente para dominar el idioma. Dedicándole solamente unos minutos al día. Nuestras clases con método único tienen las mejores reseñas de academias en Google. Además, las adaptamos a profesionales que necesitan el idioma para su trabajo o negocio. Así que pruébalas gratis. Tu futuro laboral está solo a un podcast de distancia. Okay, so, Aline, today... Wow, what an interesting podcast, no? Just how to negotiate in English. I think it's a very practical one, no?
Exactly. I was thinking it's not only interesting, it's super, super practical and useful because many people have a very good, fairly good level of English and they can cope anywhere. But when we're talking about negotiating or business, sometimes we feel like we lack some vocabulary. So today is going to be very useful. A few clues are going to, very good tips are going to be helpful for all our listeners. Yeah,
you're totally right, totally right. So maybe the best way to start with this is just playing a role play, just and maybe later on we can talk about different aspects of that role play. And then after all that role play, we will also explain the grammar, because the idea is that today we will see how we can use the conditionals for negotiate in English, using the zero conditional, the first conditional, and the second conditional.
Okay. So important to control and to master conditionals when we talk about negotiating, because we need conditionals. We can't say, I want this. We need to be very polite, and that will help, and to talk about different situations. So it's going to be very nice. I think our listeners will love it.
That's true. And we hope, friends, those who are listening, just we hope you can use them maybe today. Just maybe you go... to try to do some business today in English, and you can use this conditionals, okay? And then we can help you to close a deal today. Okay, so let's start then with the dialogue. Well, welcome to our office, Aline. Did you have a good journey?
Thank you, Jonathan. Yes, it was smooth. Thank you very much. Is this your first visit to our headquarters?
Yes, it is. Your facility is impressive. What's the weather like in your city these days?
It's been quite sunny lately, perfect for meetings like this. So, Jonathan, what we are looking for is to establish a service agreement for technical support across our regional offices.
Okay, so look, our main concern is ensuring timely response and resolution times. There are two main areas that we would like to discuss: service level expectations and pricing.
Understood. We'd like to propose that we start with a pilot phase in one region to evaluate performance before rolling out to other locations.
Well, that sounds reasonable. I mean, I agree with you on that point. Starting small allows us to fine-tune the service before scaling up.
I'm glad to hear that. Let's look at the points we agree on. Shall we try to sum up the main points of our discussion?
Absolutely. Look, we have agreed on starting with a pilot phase, focusing on service levels and pricing. Have I left anything out?
No, I think we've covered everything. I'm satisfied with this decision. Shall we get this in writing?
Yes, of course. Let's formalize the agreement. I'll have our legal team draft the contract based on our discussions.
Perfect. This is a great opportunity for us to clarify any details and ensure we are aligned before moving forward.
Agree. I'm willing to work with that. Once the contract is ready, we can proceed with signing and implementation.
Excellent. I think we're off to a great start, Jonathan. Thank you for a productive discussion today.
Well, thank you, Aline. I look forward to working together on this project. Okay, fine. So that was an interesting, very, very professional discussion. So maybe we can just talk a little bit about things that we can pay attention, not just, for example, I mean, when you start conversation, or you build a rapport, you don't go straight to business. No? So you want to, as we call, start making small talk. No? Things that we maybe did. Well, welcome to, did you have a good journey? Or is this your first visit? What's the weather like? Nothing to do with business, not just small talking. No? And mentions, no, by starting off on the right foot, people will be more likely to continue to do business with us in the future.
That's an essential part. I agree with you, Jonathan, to build a rapport, because the first 3-4 minutes need to be cordial, needs to be really establishing a common ground, a good atmosphere. That's why this small talk you were mentioning is necessary. Even though it seems something very, very simple, it's really necessary to build a good situation. A good atmosphere. Yeah.
Very good. Would you like to discuss the next step?
Well, as you saw in the dialogue, very early in the conversation, we stated our position or our proposal. So once both sides are feeling comfortable, thanks to the small talk, now we can go ahead and start making our proposals. Yeah. In most cases, you'll have prepared these before the meeting. Of course, you can't improvise. And so you'll usually know what issues you'd like to negotiate. 3 phases to help express our ideas. For example, what we're looking for is, our main concern is, there are 2 main areas that we would like to discuss, or we'd like to propose that. So by establishing those 3 phases, it's very easy to negotiate then.
That's true. And then we arrive to the concluding comments. No? So we finish. We should clarify, conclude before closing the deal, things that we mentioned, not during the conversation. Well, let's look at the points that we agree on. No? Shall we try to sum up the main points for our discussion? Or a good question. Hey, have I left anything out? No? So let's confirm the details. And that is a great opportunity for you to make sure that both parties have covered everything, and a chance to ask for further questions. No? But then just sometimes we can agree, other times maybe we disagree. So how do expressions just to talk about this? Can you share something?
Very nice. It's true, because negotiating involves obviously sometimes not to agree completely with the partner or with the person you're in front of. So we need to know good expressions to make sure that you can convey this disagreement. So, for example, there are a number of ways that you are not on the same page. That's a good expression. Mm-hmm. I'm not on the same page. It doesn't mean we are hostile. It doesn't mean there is a bad vibes there. So a good way to express disagreement politely would be, I understand where you're coming from. However, that's a good one. I understand where you're coming from, which in Spanish would be very different. So that's good to learn. I can't quite agree with you on that. Always, we see there is a lot of politeness in it. We are not blunt. We are not, I don't agree, I disagree. No, I can't quite agree with you on that. I'm afraid we have some reservation on that point. Always, in an English atmosphere, we are not blunt, but people can understand very well that we are not on the same page without offending. Or, I'm afraid I had something different in mind. Those expressions can really be a great help in a negotiation.
Very good. Very diplomatic, no?
Yes.
And then just point is maintaining good relations. You don't want to lose, no, the sale. You don't want to lose the deal, and you want to continue having business, you know, with these people. And then, of course, we can agree. You know, expressions that we can show that we agree is, well, I agree with you on that point. You have a strong point there. Well, that sounds great to us. I'm with you in that. You know? So those are good points. And then just important, no? Just a very important thing on business is closing the deal. That's maybe the most important part, no, of a deal. Just so maybe once we have reached the mutual understanding, what expressions to close a deal can we use?
In reality, if we did all the previous phases well, now closing the deal should be very easy. And we will only need a few sentences like, oh, I'm willing to work with that. Mm-hmm. We agree to these terms. I'm satisfied with this decision. I think we should get this in writing. So establishing the what we've agreed on and in with a good and symbolic gesture to express that we're in agreement. So that's good. We can shake hands to show that we agree. And a good smile and the negotiation is done. So
very good. Nice. So I think we explained very good this. But before moving, I think you have something to share, no, with our listeners.
Sí, voy a pasar al español para animar a nuestros oyentes. Que por favor no olviden suscribirse a nuestro podcast, que lo hacemos con mucho cariño y sabemos que son muy útiles. Además, si disfrutas de nuestro contenido en plataformas como YouTube, LinkedIn o Twitch, por favor no olvides dejarnos un like, que para nosotros significa mucho. Y si quieres aprender otros idiomas, también puedes escuchar nuestros podcasts en de chino y japonés en Hanyu Chinese School y, of course, nuestro inglés en Trainland. No te lo pierdas.
Oh, well done. Thank you. Thank you very much. So then just we mentioned at the beginning that we were going to share with our listeners how to use the conditionals, not just for this, not how to use conditionals in a negotiation. So maybe we could first explain a little bit the three conditionals that we will talk. Let's start with the zero conditional. Maybe you can start with that one. What's the usage? What's the structure? And could you give some examples?
Okay, very good. So zero conditional is to talk about general truths, okay? Standard procedures during a negotiation. Things there is no doubt about, everybody accepts, and we establish facts. And the structure is super easy. We have if, our friend if, then we have present simple, comma when we write it, but for us to see that there is now a second part of the sentence with present in front of it. Okay, let me give you a couple of examples. For example, if both parties are satisfied, if present, we finalize the agreement. Finalize in present. If both parties are satisfied, we finalize the agreement. Or if we reach an impasse, we take a break and reconvene later. Okay, so everybody agrees on that. And last one, if there is a disagreement, we refer to the mediation process. Okay, if there is present, we refer to present. Super easy to establish common ground.
Very good, fantastic. Then we move to the next conditional, no? The first conditional. Well, this one, as our listeners know, no, is for real and possible future actions during negotiation. So this one is a positive one. The structure is also quite simple. Is that if, the present simple, comma, then the will and the base form of the verb. So then just repeat that. If, present simple, and then the will, right? Plus the base form of the verb. So to give a couple of examples, no? Okay, so if you agree to our payment terms, no? If you agree, present simple, we will sign the contract today. So that's a possible and future action in the future during the negotiation. No? Okay, so well, if the budget is approved, then we will move forward with the deal. So as you can see, these conditionals are vital for negotiation in English. No? So it's something that we can we can use. So let's move then to the third one and final one we talked today, which is the second conditional. Do you want to share the usage and the structure?
Sure. Maybe that's one that drive a little bit more crazy the learners of English, but in reality it has the same structure, sorry, using again, if, but in that case we go to past simple. And on the other side of the sentence we use a conditional. So if past simple and then would. You were using will, present and will for the first conditional. Now we're in the second conditional. If past simple and then would or conditional. Why do we use the second or what is it for the second conditional? Well, it's to you to talk about hypothetical or unlikely scenarios during negotiations. They are useful because sometimes we talk about things that are not going to happen very probably, but we still need to mention them. Okay. And that's why the unlikely. We don't think this is really possible, but we need to talk about them. And we will use that structure. If past simple plus conditional. Let me give you a few examples. If they were more transparent, we would trust them more. If our budget were larger, we would consider additional features. You see, if our budget were interesting, we don't say was. We say were. That's part of the beauty of the second conditional. So if our budget were larger, which is something unlikely, we don't think the money will come tomorrow, but if it happened, we would consider additional features. Again, a very useful sentence. Or for example, if I were in your position, I would accept the offer. I'm not in your position, so it's unlikely, but yet, if I were, not if I was, again, if I were in your position, I would accept the offer. And let us remember, Spanish speakers, we have a tendency of pronouncing would with pronouncing the W, no, would. We have to make sure if I would, there is air passing through our mouth, I would accept the offer. And the last example I can give you is if we knew the priorities, we would tailor our proposal accordingly. But I don't know the priorities, so it's just unlikely.
Very
If
good.
past simple conditional.
Fantastic. Well explained. Thank you, Aline. So just a tip, no, for our listeners, remember, when we talk about conditionals, it's important to think about how the speaker perceives the situation. Okay, so it's me talking how I perceive. So first conditional for a possible situation. Okay, I think this is possible. So if we decrease our prices, the demand will increase. Fantastic. That is what I think. Very good. No, and the second conditional, it's for the unlikely and real or impossible situation from the speaker's perception. No? So, for example, if we had another location in France, we could compete in the European market. Yeah, but the reality is that we don't have a location in France. No? So that's mainly just an idea. Fantastic. So I think we did cover quite well this. Maybe we have still a little bit of time, and I think it would be good just to talk a little bit about the negative and also especially the question form for the conditionals. No? So for example, making proposals and suggestions. No, I think the good conditional forms that are used frequently is, well, if you can, then I will. So just if we keep that instructions, look, if you can, no, then that could be one way. No, look, we could probably do this if you do that. And on the questions, well, what if we, no? Would you agree to, would you be able to, well, if we do this, would you? So then the structures with questions are also important because, of course, when you are negotiating, you want to also to ask questions, and you need to know how to do this using the conditional forms. Well, fantastic, Aline. I think that our listeners today, you know, have learned a lot about using conditionals for business. Thank you very much just for helping us today with that. And Aline, maybe you can remind our listeners just we mentioned, you know, the importance of subscribing for our channel. But if they want to learn English with us, What can they do?
Yeah, we have more than the podcast. We have an amazing platform with a campus online. They just need to go to trainlearn.com and they'll find that there are super nice teachers that will help them having fun and learning in a very professional way. And they will feel free to express their doubts. We will be really tailoring our classes for them. As well, they should remember that in August, we're still on time. Because we have a very good offers for intensive course. Now, maybe you have a couple of weeks free and you want to boost your English. That's the moment. Contact us and you'll find a really good offer. So do not hesitate and contact TrainLearn.
Yeah, you can just do a reservation for that, and you can do 1 week or 2 weeks or 1 month, as Lee just mentioned. That. Well, thank you very much for listening, and see you next time. Bye-bye, Lee.
Thank you, bye.